Well, today is the end of our sermon series. We started this 7 weeks ago, and we talked about our mission and our vision, and we've been going through this thing called the life tree cycle. I think we have a picture of it, the discipleship life tree cycle, where we talk about planting and sprouting and growing. And today we're going to talk about bearing fruit, because that's what God's called us to do. If you look in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus said that, "You did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. That's what we're talking about. That's what God's called us to do, is to bear fruit. And we're going to give a little bit of time this morning to talk about that. We're going to answer some questions. We're going to answer the questions, how do we bear fruit? What is fruit, and where do we bear fruit, and why do we bear fruit? And so, first of all, how do we bear fruit? Well, I have an apple tree at home that I planted a few years ago, and I'm horrible with gardening, you should know that, but I did set it up on a sprinkler system, so it gets water periodically, and every once in a while, my wife reminds me that I should put food on the tree, but other than that, it has food, it has sunshine, it has water, it has nutrients. Every once in a while, I'll go out there and I'll prune it, and basically, I'm getting apples. And I'm not getting a whole lot of apples just yet, because it's still a small tree, but the apples are quite tasty, and they're very good. The one or two that I got last year were just out of this world. Now, there were more than that, but the birds got most of them. But I know that over time, that little apple tree will continue to grow, and it'll grow, and it'll grow, and it'll get stronger and bigger, and it will bear so much fruit that the birds won't be able to come and take the apples, or not all of them, and there'll be plenty of apples left, even for me to eat. That's what God is calling us to. We talked about how a seed is planted, how there's a period of time where we grow that seed and let it sprout. And what did we talk about? We talked about the things that go into that tree so that it may grow strong and healthy. And then at some point, we take off the poles and the tree continues to grow. But eventually, the whole purpose of the tree is to bear fruit. The whole reason why God exists in you is so that you may bear fruit in the world. Because God only has us in this world to bear His fruit and His love and His joy in the world. If you remember from a couple weeks ago, we talked about what that stuff was as we were sprouting, and we even used the word sprout as an acronym to remind us what it is. And I just briefly want to go through that again this morning, because the S, if you'll remember, was the sacrament, that there was a sacred nature to us. We receive the sacraments, we know that we are forgiven by God and Jesus, we're forgiven by God immensely by all that He does. And Jesus loves us. He forgives us. And we should know that. We should know that there's a sacred nature to our lives. It's not just waking up in the morning and going to work and coming home, but our whole life is a part of God, that He is using our lives to bear fruit in the world around us. And so, as you grow, as you get bigger and stronger and more connected to God and the world around us, you will see opportunities for God to use you to bear fruit in the world around us. There's also P, we said, was prayer. And by the way, this is in the back of your bulletin, I think, and you can probably write in there these things. The first one was sacred or sacrament. P is prayer. Now, there's a lot of bad theology about prayer out in the world today. A lot of people think that prayer is simply asking God to do things that God is either going to do or He's not going to do. And that's all they think that prayer is. But prayer is so much deeper than that. The more you pray, the more you spend time with God, it's like being a tree with your taproot going deep and deep and deep. So that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what storms may happen in this world, no matter what rain may not happen in this world, you are deeply connected to God, who is the creator of the universe. Your prayer life, as you get older, gets deeper and richer. The things that you pray for get deeper and richer. Sometimes you pray without even saying words. Sometimes your prayer life is simply spending time with God. I don't know if you've ever taken a long trip with somebody you feel very comfortable with. For me, it's my wife. We drove to Texas recently, and we can sit in the car for hours and just know that we're there. The same thing is true with God. Sometimes you don't even have to think about what it is that you need from God. You just spend time with God. Your prayer life gets deeper and richer. And as you do that, the things that you pray for become clearer and more focused. Your relationships, the R is for relationships. Every relationship that you have as you grow and bear fruit becomes incredibly richer, incredibly deeper. Your relationship with God, as we've said, becomes incredible. You feel, you know without a shadow of the doubt that you are God's beloved child, that He loves and created you, that nothing can separate you from His love. No matter what the world throws at you, God still loves you. Your relationships with other Christians become richer and deeper. How you live your life, you want to give so much of yourself to other people. You want to pour yourself into other people. That gets richer. Michael W. Smith used to sing a song called "A Friend's a Friend Forever If the Lord's the Lord of Them." And it's true. You know, I can go back to Christian friends that I had years and years and years ago, and it's as if we never, ever separated. You know what that's like with family and some of your friends. But that's the type of friendship that God wants you to have with the world around you. And then, of course, the other relationship is the world. How are you going to love those people who don't know Jesus? How are you going to love people who need, desperately need grace and love in their life? How is God calling you to that? And as you grow older and stronger and bear fruit, you will bear fruit in all those relationships of your life. The O was orthodoxy. Basically, it's knowing Scripture. It's knowing what God wants for your life. And the Scripture is a big, huge part of this. As you grow older, as you grow richer and bear more fruit, you will delve deeper and deeper and deeper into God's Word. You will look for answers to questions you had no idea you're going to be looking for answers or questions for. You will see God's Scripture as the source of all life, of the source of all answers for life. There's a guy out there who says, "This is the handbook, and I'm going to use it," or something like this. This is the handbook. This is the handbook of life, and you should use it. Do you really know what's in it? The U was unconditional love. That you know that you are loved unconditionally from a God that loves you, and that you love unconditionally to all those around you. That's just who you are. That's bearing fruit. You go to work, you love. You go to school, you love. You're in a committee or a meeting, you love. You're in your neighborhood, you love. You love tremendously, unconditionally. And that's a hard thing. Sometimes we love the people that are close to us, but it is hard to love people who are doing things that we don't agree with, that we don't understand. But that's not what God did. God, when Jesus walked on this earth, He loved unconditionally the world around Him. He loved the unlovable around Him. That's what God calls us to do. And then the T is trust. Build your faith. God, over time, will show you that you are a sacred instrument, His work in this world, that He's called you to bear fruit. And there will be times in your life where God will reveal to you that He wants you to do something, and it may be difficult. It may be hugely difficult. It may require a sacrifice on your part. And so it takes trust. It takes trust to say, "God, I know what you're calling me to do, and I know it's going to be difficult, and I know that I don't want to do it." It's what I call deep water fishing, right? Where the disciples went and cast their nets on the other side of the row of the boat, and they came up with this huge catch. They didn't want to do it, but Jesus told them to do it. "I don't want to do it. Lord, this is going to be a huge sacrifice, but because you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it." And so you follow Jesus, you do what he's called you to do, and God is faithful. And he blesses that work. And so you do it again, and God is faithful, and he blesses that work. And you do it again, and God is faithful, and he blesses that work. And the tree gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it's a solid oak, until nothing can destroy it except death itself. That nothing can come between you and bearing fruit because you are so rock solid that you can't help but bear fruit. Today is Consecration Sunday, and one of the things that God calls us to do is return a portion of what he's given us, and we return that back to God. And that, for many people, the first time they do that, that is a huge step of faith. They look at their finances and they say, there's just no way I can give anything to God. How could I possibly do it? I'm using it all up. And yet we hear story after story after story of people who said, I'm just going to make a commitment to do this much. And then God blesses it. And then they say, you know, that actually worked out pretty well. I'll do it again. And God blesses it. And God blesses it. And you can't outgive God. You can't. It's just simply not possible. I know it sounds crazy. I know that it doesn't make any sense in this world. But in God's economy, the way God works, it makes all the sense in the world. But I don't even want to focus on the financial. I want to talk about the time part. Because a lot of us are strapped for time. We wake up in the morning, we hurry up and eat, we shower, whatever we do, we get to work, we come home, we put the kids to bed or whatever. Whatever it is in our life, we're exhausted at the end of the day and we say, how in the world would I ever spend more time with God? It's impossible. The 30 seconds I gave him on the drive to work, that's about it. But I'm here to tell you that when you spend time with God, I know it sounds crazy, but when you spend time with God, when you are seeking him and his will for your life, I don't know how he does it, but he finds the time to get all the stuff done. And especially when you put him first, make him the first part of the day or make him the first part of the week or whatever it is, when you put God first and say, God, I'm going to spend time with you, it seems to all happen. Now, this is something I've struggled with my whole life because I'm a type A, or I don't know what I am, but I like to get things done and I like to work hard. I like to be proud of my accomplishments. I'm always the guy that, you know, is the first into work and the last to leave at the end of the day. That's the type of person I am. And I know trying to fit everything in, and I didn't have time for a prayer life. I mean, I did perfunctory prayers and all that, but I never spent a great deal of time with God. I just didn't see how I could. But over the last few years, I have. I've been spending more time with God, probably more than you would be comfortable with. And God has not hurt my time at all. As a matter of fact, it's made my time more focused. It's made my life more focused. I have more time. I know it sounds crazy. But when you give to God the first fruits of your time, of your talents, of your treasure, when you give to him first and say, God, I'm yours, use me in whatever way you can possibly use me, he blesses that, and he abundantly gives you so much more. And you don't know that until you start growing in him. This isn't the first thing that you learn. It's not when you're young. It's not when you first learn all about when you're a sprout or even when you're growing. It's as you get older and mature and you live a life that God calls you to live, that the trunk gets bigger and stronger, and then the fruit just starts coming. And there's so much abundant fruit that the birds can't even take it all away. It's just an abundance of fruit that comes out of you into the world around us. So what is fruit? Well, Jesus said it right there in the passage, John 15. But I chose you and appointed you that so that you might go and bear much fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, to love one another. That's the fruit, to love. Paul would say, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. which are just a nice way of saying love. And what is love? Well, we talked about it in making loving disciples, but it was about the Good Samaritan who was going down the road and he saw the guy that had been beaten to death by robbers, and so he gave of himself, put the man on his horse, brought him to an inn, and said, whatever it takes, heal this man. Like, people look at that and they say, how much money did he give the innkeeper to take care of this guy? And did he ever get the money back? And the point is, he may never have gotten the money back. He probably didn't. He probably didn't care. Because there was more joy for him to serve the world around him and to do something for this poor, bleeding man who'd been robbed than anything else. He probably rejoiced in the opportunity that he could to help this guy. He didn't care that it was going to cost him money because he was in a relationship to know what God wanted him to do with all the resources that he'd been given. And he'd lived his life in such a way that he had the resources to be able to give to heal this man. It's simply love. That's it. It's that in the sum total of your life, with your time, talents, and treasures, of everything that God has given to you, instead of turning it around on yourself and using it on yourself and being self-centered, that you turn it instead to the world around you and you use everything that you've been given by God to love the world around you. Luther said, the primary sin of man is that we're focused on ourselves. And what the gospel does is it helps us turn and focus on the world around us. That's what the fruit is. Where do we do this? Everywhere. At your work, at your school, at your play, in your neighborhood, wherever you walk, you're like a tree, big, huge tree out of the ground, you know, walking around bearing fruit to wherever God places you. That's where you do it. In your neighborhood, you see somebody who needs something, you help. At work, you see a situation that needs calmness or whatever it needs, you help. In school, you help. Wherever you are in your life, you bear God's love and you bear fruit. And the cool thing is that in that fruit that they're eating, there's little tiny seeds. And you never know that the fruit that you're giving may turn into God in somebody else. You don't know what's going to happen to the fruit that you sow in the world around you. But another place to bear fruit is here in this congregation, Christ Lutheran Vale Church. When we gather together as a group of God's people, there is so much more that we can do as a group than we can individually. We can worship together. We can do things for the community together. We can bring people in from the community and create small groups or whatever. Whatever it is, together we can do it better than we can do individually. It's called the law of synergy. And God does holy synergy here at Christ Lutheran Vale Church. And so he calls each and every one of us not only to bear fruit in the world around us, but to consider, how can I serve God even in this congregation, Christ Lutheran Vale Church? And today, we've added onto our consecrated steward card an opportunity for you to say, you know, I might have some extra time, or I have an extra skill. Something around here really, really attacks my heart, reaches me deeply, and I'd like to bear fruit in this area. And we're going to give you an opportunity, because your whole entire life is bearing fruit for Jesus. And so, why do we bear fruit? And this is a biggie. Why? Well, it's a command of Jesus. That's a good reason. But that is not the main reason. Jesus commands us to love, but we don't love as we should. We don't love our neighbors, ourselves. We don't love God. We are poor, sinful people. And God loves us unconditionally, even though we don't love unconditionally. You, as a child of God, are loved by Him. No matter what fruit you give to the world around us, God will bless that fruit. Don't worry about it. But that's not why we do it. It's not following God and following God's rules, because we've already been saved by God. We're already in a relationship with Him. Nothing can separate us. But why do we bear fruit? And this is something you just got to experience in your life. The reason why we bear fruit is because we were created to bear fruit. in the garden. I love the verse, Genesis 1:28, where God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. The multiply part is pretty cool. The fruitful part is equally as cool. We were created to be fruitful. Can you imagine Adam and Eve living in the garden and they walk up to a tree and Adam says, no, let me give this to you. And he grabs whatever it is and he gives it to Eve and she eats from it. He says, I did that for her. No, you didn't. God created the whole thing, but you got the joy of giving. That's a joy that we're created to know. We're created to love the world. And if we're not loving the world around us, we are not even close to experiencing the joy that God has for us. It's a deep, visceral joy. I wasn't going to use that, but my wife used it this morning. It's a deep, visceral joy. It goes down deep inside you. And the only joy that you'll have in this life is bearing fruit. And bearing fruit richly by becoming a tree that just bears fruit in the world around. There's so much fruit that you can't even give it all away. When you are there, then you're like the tree that you're going to give fruit till the day you die. And that fruit will continue on well past the time that you die. That is the mission and the vision and the development life cycle of our church. That is why God created us. That's why God brought us together, to bear fruit. To bring our resources together to bear fruit in the world around us. So today, I would like to end the sermon, and I would like to give you an opportunity to think about what God's given you. We've done this every year. Like I said, if you are a guest and visitor, you don't have to do this. As a matter of fact, even if you are a member of Christ Lutheran Church, this is not for us. Okay, this is for you. This is simply an opportunity for you to consider what God has given you. It's a tool. And to understand or to make a commitment to what it is that you would like to return back God for the next year. And so we can actually, if your ushers are around while I'm talking, they're going to hand out cards. Now, in previous years, we only gave cards to kind of like each family. This time, we would like to give cards to anybody who's like a high schooler or older, okay? All right, so this is something that we do intentionally. It is something we do proportionally, it's something we do sacrificially, and it's something we do joyfully to give back to God. So there's a card that you're getting, and on that card there's two faces to it, but I'll get to that. If you need more time, you can take the card home and you can bring it back next week, or you could put it in the offering plate, but we would really encourage you to do it this morning if you're prepared and ready to do it. On the back side of the card, on the front side of a card is the Consecration Sunday part we've seen for the last 5 years. And basically has your name and a commitment, financial commitment for the next year. That hasn't changed, so you can take a look at that. On the back of the card, we've added a portion of it to look at the development life cycle, the plant, the sprout, the grow, and the bearing fruit. And our congregation is getting together to take a look at our mission and to figure out what kind of things can we do to make sure that we are laser focused on that. And we need people. We need lots of people. We need people's talents. We need people's time. And if God is calling you to be a part of that, then I'd encourage you to fill out the back of the card. Now, it also has an email address, and that's because the primary way that we're going to communicate with you is through email. So if you don't have email, you can put a phone number down and we'll try to communicate through a phone. But it's primarily something to do that we would like to do on email. And if you don't have an email address, we could certainly set you up with one. If you are in junior high or younger, we will be tapping into your talents through your family, so you don't have to do it. But this could be for anybody, any person who is in high school or greater. You could fill out the back of the card. You could put where you would like to serve and your email address, and you'll be contacted by our key leader team. And the front of the card, you still do by a family unit. So if it's mom and dad and kids and it's one family unit, you could put your commitment on the front of the card by family unit. But on the back of the card, it would be individuals. So it's probably as clear as mud. It's the first time we've done it, and we will... be enlisting you for those things. So, the band is going to come back and they're going to play some music. I'd ask you to prayerfully consider what times and talents God's given you and how you want to serve here at Christ Within Vail Church, how you want God to use your time and talent at Christ Within Vail Church. When you are ready and you've filled that out, we're going to put a table or a box right up here at the front. You can come forward. As a matter of fact, Polly's got it right there. And you can put your card in the front. When that is done, then we'll continue with the service. So may God richly bless us in Christ Within Vail as we do some exciting things in the kingdom. Amen.